And again, may I wish you God's richest blessing for the year ahead. This could be the year of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Things are happening all over the world that indicate that the Lord's coming must be very, very near. Now, I bring you tonight some verses in relation to faith. Two or three of them are from the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and the very first one is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in that very same chapter, the writer, whoever he might have been, we know that it was, of course, the Holy Spirit of God. Some Bible scholars think that it was the Apostle Paul, but this is one of the omissions in the Bible. For some very wonderful reason, the Holy Spirit hasn't said who the author of that book, this wonderful book, the letter to the Hebrews, was written by, who that person was. But it was the Holy Spirit, of course. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, you couldn't have anything more definite than that, more categorical than that, could you? He that cometh to God must. This is a divine imperative. He that cometh to God must. He must. Note that. One of those must. Believe that he is. That he is what? Well, he is God. Far from anything else. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then there's a verse in Ephesians 2, and it's verse 8. By grace are ye saved through faith. Note that word faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, here we are, my dear friends, at the very beginning of a new year. And, of course, we all look back on the old year. I know that many of you have had strange experiences. Perhaps that word strange is not the right word to use in this context, but many of God's people often pass through difficult periods in their lifetime. And we know clearly from the scriptures, when we read the story of Job, for instance, that the saint of God, the child of God, is not immune from tribulation, from trials, from difficulties, from problems. But, you know, the wonderful thing about it is this, that as we look back over this past year, those of us who are Christians, we can say without any hesitation at all that we have experienced the presence of the Lord Jesus with us. Now, we may not have been conscious of his presence. I suppose so often, day by day, along the way, we are not conscious of the fact that the Lord is with us. But that doesn't matter. Because the promise is, and it's a divine promise, and he can't break that promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we look back and we're filled with gratitude to God. And that we use the words of the servant of God of old, and we say, as we look back over the past 12 months, great is thy faithfulness. And with the psalmist, surely, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And then, of course, there's the prospective view. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here we are, I say it again, at the very beginning of a new year. And we're beginning to look forward into this year. And surely, there's a great big question mark over our hearts. Millions of men and women on this earth, this planet earth, they too are looking into this coming year, and especially, may I use the word, the intelligentsia of the earth, and the politicians. These men and women are wondering upon their hearts, there's that great big question mark, but millions and millions of people are looking into this new year and wondering what is going to happen. Now, the question that comes to my heart, and I thought about this as I was thinking and preparing for this message this evening, the question that comes to my heart, and maybe to yours, as you stand right here at the very beginning of an unknown future, the question is, what do we need? What do we need as we go into the unknown? Well, I believe the Word of God has an answer to every problem. I believe that whatever the spiritual problem is, apart from anything else, the Holy Spirit of God has the answer in the Scriptures. So when we ask that question, we can go to the Scriptures and expect the Holy Spirit of God to provide the answer. And I believe, apart from the person of Christ, of course, which really is the true answer, he's the only answer to all our problems. But if there's one thing we need as Christians, and certainly if there's one thing that men and women and young people need who are not Christians, it is faith. F-A-I-T-H. It is faith. For you see, my dear friends, as we start off this year, we need to know whom we're trusting. We need to know that the future is in the hands of one who knows the future. And that this one we know, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He knows the future. 2,000 years ago, he knew precisely what the coming generations would reveal. He could look down through those years. He could look down through the centuries. And he could see these very last days of the 20th century. And he knew precisely what would happen in these days. And in a moment or two, we'll think about some of the things that have happened and maybe what might happen during this coming year. But the Lord Jesus knew, I say, what was going to happen. He looked down through those 20 centuries. And then he began to talk, he talked about the year A.D. 70, by the way, and we needn't emphasize that, but he talked about what would happen to the Jews in Jerusalem in the year A.D. 70. And what he prophesied came to pass. But he looked beyond A.D. 70, and he looked down through the centuries, looked down into this very century in which you and I are living. And he knew exactly what would happen, therefore, in 1987. And he said, and he spoke with divine authority, as that omniscient eye of the Son of God traveled down through those uncharted years. This, that, and the other thing will happen. And you know what he said would happen. He gave those signs. And we're seeing them all around today. And they're increasing. They're increasing. With rapidity, they're increasing. We just don't know what's going to happen. Again, I say what I said the other Sunday evening, 2 weeks ago this evening. We may go home tonight, turn on our television or radio, and we have a mental shock. Some disaster somewhere. Some earthquake or pestilence, some terrorist bomb, something that's bringing fear into the hearts of men and women as never before. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Perilous times, said the Lord Jesus. I needn't go into those signs. About 10 specific signs that he gave. So I bring to you tonight this little talk on faith. And I bring it to you in the form of an acrostic, so that you might remember it. And we're going to look very quickly and simply into the Scriptures to discover what the Bible says about faith. Well, first of all, faith is a fact. First letter of the word faith is F, and that reminds us that faith is a fact. And the very first two words of Hebrews 11 indicates that. Why, says the writer, faith is. Faith is. And had we only those two words, faith is, period, that itself, those two words of a sentence, or two words, that itself would indicate that this is a fact, a very important fact indeed. But the Holy Spirit adds to it. He gives us a further truth. And he says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when a person exercises faith, that faith in the eyes of heaven, in the eyes of God, it's real. To you and to me, of course, it mightn't appear real. We can't see faith, but in the eyes of heaven, there's substance in it. And it's the evidence in the eyes of God. It's the evidence, and often in the eyes of men and women, when faith is justified, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a fact. God has given to you and to me and to every single member of the human race the gift of faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 again. Oh, I know that the theologians differ over this verse. But I think both schools are right, as often they are. When the Holy Spirit of God doesn't say categorically what the interpretation is in relation to a certain statement in the Word of God, and there might be more than one interpretation, and they're both or more supported by the clear teaching of the whole of the Word of God, then we may accept the two or more, whatever they might be. By grace are you saved through faith, says the Apostle Paul. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, what? The grace or the faith? That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, of course, grace is the gift of God, it's the free gift of God, unmerited favor, but so is the faith that God gives and puts into the heart of every little boy and girl as it comes into the world, the gift of faith, the ability to believe. So faith is a fact. But the second word I bring to you is action. The letter A, of course, is the second letter in the word of faith. And again, when we look into the Word of God, we discover that faith is really action. The word faith can be equated with action. Once more, we go to the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we read these words. And Abram went out. Abram, by faith. By faith. By faith, Abram went out, not knowing whither he went. So you see, when Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, when God told him to go, he went out in faith, not knowing where he was going. It was an unknown journey. It was a mystery journey. But he went out in faith. And this was faith in action. His faith, in other words, was manifested by what he did. It was revealed by what he did. Abram went out, not knowing whither he went. Oh, I think we can apply that statement, don't you think? We can apply that statement as we stand here with the weeks and the months before us of this year. We too, as Christians, of course, we can go out into the unknown, the great unknown of this coming year. We don't know what's going to happen, but we can go out tonight just as Abram did. Go out in faith. By faith, Abram went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, I look into your dear faces here tonight in this congregation. And of course, as I said last week, we love every single person. And again, this is not my love. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in the heart. And I know that as I look into your dear face tonight, that you know. As I know that we just don't know what's going to happen. It might be a sickness. It might be a severe sickness. It might be some kind of disease that comes into the life. It might be an operation or more than one operation. It might even be bereavement coming into the family circle. Who knows? Who knows? But God wants you and me to face the future with complete and implicit trust in Him. He says, now I want you to trust me. And this is precisely what the Lord Jesus said before He went to Calvary. Just a few hours before He went to Calvary. He said, now let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You trust in God. You commit yourselves to God. Now do precisely the same with me. That's exactly what He meant. He said, you do trust God. Now trust me. Trust also in me. There's a claim to deity. Trust also in me. And then He went on to talk about, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, seeing that I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Talked about His second coming there, didn't he? God wants you and me to trust Him, dear believer. Ah, but what about someone here tonight who might not be a believer? Oh, you see, this is the message. This is the message that we've been trying to bring week after week. Dear servants of God from different parts of the world, they've stood right here in this pulpit. And some of them have poured their hearts out. Dear Brother Tom, for instance, how that man of God pours out his heart and soul. And he's looking into the faces as he did during the campaign, of course, as he always does, pouring out his heart, loving men and women for Christ's sake. And the very love of Christ pouring through the very personality of that dear man of God. And he's trying to win them for Christ. Of course. Oh, of course. And there could be someone here tonight in this meeting who has even sat under the powerful preaching of the man whom I call the Billy Graham of the Bahamas, dear brother Tom Roberts, and yet you've gone out to the meeting without accepting Christ during this past year. How any Bahamian can go through life and not accept Christ because the gospel is preached week after week here in these islands. How any Bahamian can go into eternity without accepting Christ, I just don't know. Oh, the only answer is that his eyes are blinded by the God of this world, of course. There's got to be action. And you see, the fact is that when you trust Christ, when you accept the Lord Jesus, then you leave the future with him. And day by day, in fact, it's a day by day experience. You live a day at a time. You just trust the day to him. You commit it to him and say, Lord, here's the day. Whatever happens this day, I'll accept this from you. That's the secret of a life of blessing and a life of power and a life of victory. There must be faith in Christ. Paul knew the secret. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now he gives us the key to a life of blessing and a life of victory. He said, the life I'm living now, not that word now, the life that I'm living now in the flesh, the life, says Paul, that I'm living at this precise moment, at this very moment, the life that I'm living now, how am I living it? I'll tell you, Paul is saying, I'm living it through faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul became a Christian by an act of faith. He obtained his Christian experience and life by an act of faith, but he maintained that Christian experience by an attitude of faith. And that's exactly how you and I must do it, dear Christian. And you, dear sinner friend, you cannot begin to walk that pathway of faith, that path of trust and committal, day by day, without first of all coming as a sinner and accepting Christ and believing that he died for you on that cross of shame 2,000 years ago. Well, the third letter of the word is the letter I. And that makes me think of the word imperative. Faith is imperative. He that cometh to God must, that is, must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. What's going to happen then this year? And whatever might happen, are we going to trust him? I think I mentioned this morning in our lovely breaking of bread service, our remembrance feast, that despite the fact that we haven't reached the first week of 1987, what is it? 4 days, is it? Fourth today. Several things have happened. And we're so accustomed to these things happening that we're accepting them. We're accepting them. Why, even out there, our dear sister Mrs. Cates told me tonight on the phone, Sister Rose, out there at the airport. It's chaos. The airport at Miami has been closed down. Apparently there are at least two cyclones, I heard from somebody else, two cyclones in Florida. Unprecedented! These things that, we've rarely experienced. And this is right on our doorstep sort of thing. And the baggage is piled high up there in the airport. Never seen anything like it, said our dear sister, Mrs. Cates. And then during the past 2 days, that awful cyclone down there in the Cook Islands, in the Pacific. 20,000 people so far that they know of, made homeless. 20,000. Why, we wonder why. A terrible war over there in the Middle East. And at any moment a great conflagration could develop there. The war between Iraq and Iran. And the lesser war, if we might call it that, between Chad and Libya. Oh, you see, it's like a cauldron. It's beginning to boil up. And everything is getting ready for the coming of Antichrist. And then, after the coming of the Lord Jesus, the scenes are being set. And men and women are being placed in position. And the nations are lining up. And everything's getting ready for the coming of Antichrist. And then, that awful time of tribulation. And then, the coming back of the Lord Jesus. the air crash in Africa the other day, this past week, since the first day of the year, lives lost, that terrible fire down there in Puerto Rico, one thing upon another, is it not? Terrible rail strike in France. The politician at their wit's end, they just don't know where to turn, the politicians in France, and not only in France, in other countries too. What about China? Thousands of students demonstrating. And you see on every hand all over the world today, there's unrest. And it's all heading up. Thank God the news is good because of the bad news. Why, we can't listen to anything on the radio when we're listening to the news or read anything in our newspaper without getting bad news. But thank God, because of the bad news, this is the paradox, dear friends. This is the paradox. The very news which is bad is an indication of the good news that the coming of the Lord is near. And he's the only one who can put the old world right. Thank God for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So faith is imperative. You can't get to heaven without faith, and faith has to have an object. Dear Christian, you have to trust Christ. You trust him for salvation. You trusted him to save you from a lost eternity. Can you not trust him? Can I trust him day by day with the problems of life? Oh, in the world you shall have tribulation, said the Lord Jesus. And what's tribulation? Tribulation is trouble. You're not immune. You're going to get the same kinds of difficulties and problems that the unconverted person gets. You might get more if you become a Christian, dear unsaved friend here tonight. But I tell you this, and I say it again, it's worth emphasizing, in it all. And through it all, in days of sunshine and sweetness, in days of darkness and despair, he's there. He's there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But you have to come in faith. And if you want to enter this sphere, this spiritual sphere, you have to enter it by faith in Christ. The only way you can enter that spiritual sphere, which we call the kingdom. And day by day along life's way, you have to exercise that same faith, looking off unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who gave you the faith, the creator, the one who put that faith in your breast, is the one who's the object of your faith. And as Paul said, you've got to trust him. You have to trust him. This life I'm living now in the flesh, I'm living it through faith in Christ, said Paul. And that's the way that you as a Christian has to live, by faith. And myself, we have to live it by faith. And dear unsaved person, when you enter this sphere, you have to enter it by an act of faith. And the object of the faith, your faith, is Christ. You cannot begin to walk the pathway of faith without first of all exercising faith in the living Christ who died for you at Calvary. Yes, but I think of another word. And it suggested, really, almost the exact word in the same chapter of Ephesians, 11th chapter. The next letter is the letter T, isn't it? And I'm thinking of the word trial. Abraham, after he was tested by faith, Abraham, after he was tested, offered up Isaac. And do you remember what the Apostle Peter tells us about faith? Oh, he calls it the trial of your faith. You see, if you become a Christian tonight, tomorrow in work, maybe, might be in the office, might be in the shop, might be in the school, if you trust Christ tonight, the probability, it's almost a certainty, the probability is that faith that you've exercised, you're going to exercise tonight, we'll imagine in Christ, that faith is going to be tested. Oh, someone, if you become a real Christian tonight and accept Christ as Savior, and you go to the shop or office tomorrow or school and you say, I'm a Christian, then make no bones about it. Someone there, energized by the devil, someone's going to be used by the devil to test that faith of yours. Make no mistake about it. And again, as far as the Christian is concerned, if you trust Christ, then that faith is going to be tested. The trial of your faith, that's it. You see, this can't refer to the unconverted person at all. It doesn't apply to the unregenerate man or woman. It just does not apply to the person who's ever exercised faith in Christ. You see, he doesn't know anything about the trial of his faith, which is precious. Only the Christian can know that. Who knows, I may not be here in this time next year. Looking back over 1987, you may not be here. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I'm not trying to frighten anybody. But we have to be realistic. And you see, we're living in an unknown and uncertain world. Anything could happen. Even in these lovely islands of the Bahamas. Who knows? Would to God that I had a crystal ball here tonight in one sense. I'm glad I haven't, of course. But if I had on this pulpit tonight a crystal ball, and I could look into that crystal ball and I could say, now, my dear friend, I can see that this time next year, I'll be standing in this very pulpit, and I can see myself looking around, and every single person who's here tonight will be here. Then, the first Sunday of 1988, of course we can't. And it's impossible. Some people pretend. They pretend to tell the future. Oh, I know this, and I admit this. I admit this, that some people's minds and bodies are given over to the devil, and they know demon possession. And that the devil can, so far, because he's the god of this world, the devil can engineer certain events. Not with a Christian. Certainly not with a Christian who's fully yielded. Nothing happens by chance to the Christian. And certainly not to the Christian who is fully yielded to the Lordship of Christ. But the devil can come into the life of one who is not a Christian. And he can engineer, he can plan certain things, certain events to happen. And he allows those things happen. And he uses men still under his power, under his authority. Men and women who can be used by him. And through them he brings certain events to happen. And then people prophesy and they come to pass. But we have a book that's complete. And only the Lord Jesus has prophesied what's happening in these days. And only the Bible can say what's going to happen. And I'll tell you this much. I can tell you, on the authority of this book, what will happen to any dear person here tonight who's not a Christian, who goes into eternity this coming year. I know this. I wish I didn't have to say this. I wish I could stand on this pulpit tonight and say, my dear friends, I can't find anything to support this teaching that we get in our pulpits and in our assemblies. I find nothing at all in my Bible that supports the teaching that a person who goes out of this life, out of time into eternity, who hasn't accepted Christ, goes out without hope. I wish I could say that. I wish I could stand here tonight and say, there's hope for the person who doesn't accept Christ after death, but there isn't. There's no hope at all. There's no hope at all for the Christ rejecter. There's only hope in Christ. And the person who rejects Christ, and again I say, you dear folk, brought up in these lovely islands, you know the gospel. You know the gospel. And there's no excuse at all. No excuse at all for you. And the sad thing, the awful thing, the tragic thing is this, that Bahamians, because they've heard the gospel so much, they're gospel hardened. They're hardened to the message of the gospel. And you know, they can come into a message like this, under a message like this, they can enjoy the singing, they can sing lustily, they can go out and say, boy, wasn't that a message? Boy, wasn't that a message? And yet, the Spirit of God somehow has reached the heart. And they're still in their sin and still bound for the lost eternity. That is happening, I believe, to men and women in these lovely islands. So trial and testing might come during this coming year. There'll be more earthquakes this year. I think I can say that without being a prophet, because they've been increasing over the past years. The probability is there'll be more famines, those millions over there in Africa dying. Oh my, I could have broken my heart, and there were thousands of Britishers who wept in front of their television set a couple of years ago when we had the pictures on our stations, the pictures of little boys with extended stomachs and little girls and great big eyes and their faces were hollow and they were staring at you. They stared at you through the television picture, and the very look broke the heart of millions of Britishers, and tens of thousands of millions were sent to relieve the famine. Millions. millions of pounds and food and all kinds of things. And not only from Britain, of course, from that great country just a little way across America and the other countries. Did you notice that the communistic countries, they don't bother. Or they might do some little thing that gives a symbol, so to speak, that might indicate to the rest of the world that they care, but they don't care. The communist doesn't care. And communism contains the seed of its own destruction. And we're seeing that today. We're seeing that today with communistic societies. And when the Lord comes, he's going to destroy the whole lot anyway. So faith is imperative. Go on trusting, dear believer. Trust. Simply trusting day by day. That's the secret. It's a day by day trust, a commitment to the living Lord, that Lord who died for you. He won't let you down. He won't let you down. All he wants is your faith, your trust. Your simple trust, day by day. Now, the last word, and I close with this, is the word hearing. And I go to Romans chapter 10 for this. Without faith, of course, it's impossible to please God, but the question is, how do we obtain faith? Well, again, the apostle gives us the secret. He says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, what does he mean? Paul, what do you mean? You say that I can have faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why do you relate to hearing and the word of God? Why do you connect the both? Well, what the apostle Paul is meaning here is this, that we have to hear, we have to hear with this ear of ours, we have to hear the message of God. Oh, well, you say, well, I do that. I've listened to you tonight, Brother Bill. I've heard you repeat the scriptures. Ah, but you see, you heard with your outer ear, so to speak. But what Paul is meaning is this. When you listen, not only with your outer ear, but you have to listen, and you do listen with your inner ear, which means your willingness to listen to the voice of God, and that includes and implies obeying the voice of God, then faith comes. And it comes, therefore, through the word of God, through hearing the word of God and obeying it. You see, you're listening to my voice tonight as you sit there because your mind makes you willing to listen. You will hear my words coming from my mouth because your mind is willing to listen. And by the same token, you're listening. When you're willing, when that inner ear is willing, when you yourself are willing to listen to the voice of God and obey it, Paul says, hearing with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. When you're willing to listen. When you're willing to listen to the voice of God. When you're willing to obey the voice of God. Then the faith that is there that God has given you can be exercised. It's only then. So you see, read your Bible this coming year. Read your Bible. Times over the years that I've talked to some people who said they didn't believe in a God, I've given them this challenge. I've said, now listen, you believe that there's no God? That's right. Well, I'm going to challenge you. Will you promise me that you will begin reading through the Gospel of John? And if you like, read a verse or two verses or three or half a dozen or read the whole chapter, day at a time, whatever. Read as much as you want. But will you pray this kind of prayer? And usually they listen and sometimes they say, well, I don't pray. Well, that's all right. But just a moment now, you listen. Pray this kind of prayer. Oh, God, if you exist. Well, now you've got them, you say. Oh, God, if you exist, if you really exist, and if this is your word, then, oh, God, if you really exist and this is your word, then reveal yourself to me as I read this gospel or this book. And if they promise to do that, I've told them this. If they promise to do that, they go to the Word of God with an open heart and an open mind, and they pray that kind of prayer, then almost invariably, before they reach the end of the Gospel of John, they'll discover the Christ, because John says, these things are written. These things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing... Believing, that's it again, faith, you see. Believing ye might have life through his name. Now I'm going to close. Some of you have to get away. But on this night, this first night, oh, may I look into your dear face tonight and invite you to stay and get this matter settled. Would it not be a wonderful thing to commence your journey along the road of life throughout this year, unknown, uncertain, unpredictable? Would it not be a wonderful thing to start off hand in hand with the Lord Jesus? No, more than that, better than that, with the Christ in your heart, with the living, loving Lord Jesus by his Spirit in your very heart, your very body. And then whatever the problems, whatever the difficulties, whatever the pains, whatever the suffering, whatever crosses your path, leave it to him. Trust him. Trust him. And the Lord Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you trust me, then I'll come down to your level and prove myself to you. I'll prove my presence. But in any case, he remaineth faithful, even if we are unfaithful. He remaineth faithful. The faithful Lord, even if we're faithless as Christians, he remaineth faithful. Go on trusting him. Whatever happens, day by day, keep trusting him. And dear sinner friend, come tonight to Calvary. He sang about that precious, precious blood. Our dear brother Harton gave out that lovely hymn, didn't he? Put your faith in that work of Calvary. Trust him. Trust the living Lord. Tonight make him your own personal Savior. He'll give you salvation. He'll give you forgiveness. He'll give you peace. What? Peace? Peace in a world where there's no peace at all and there's no peace. Yes, he'll give you peace. You see, the peace is going to prevail in the millennium during those long years of 1,000 years. That peace can be yours now. You needn't wait for the millennium. You needn't wait till you get to heaven. Because the peace of God will be there by the presence of the Prince of Peace in your heart. He's the Prince of Peace. And when he comes by his Spirit, if you receive him into your heart, you'll know that peace that passes all understanding. Whatever the problems, I say again, I emphasize it again. Oh, the dark days that you might think of this. You might think of it with Elsie and me. I might think of it in relation to something that happens to you during this coming year. Whatever the days, no matter how dark the days might be, the Lord is there. He's there. He's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Brother Bruce, would you come up and close in prayer while I go to the door, please?
Shall we pray? We thank thee, O our God, for this privilege that we have had to hear again thy word. We know there are places in the world where this privilege has not been extended to thy believing people. We are grateful unto thee. And we ask, Father, that we might not take it for granted. And further we ask that if there be anyone here who knows not our Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight they may bow the knee. We ask thee simply, but we ask thee believing that thou canst do all things above even that we are able to ask or even to think. We ask, therefore, that you would open the hearts and minds of those that are here without Christ, that they might receive him this first Sunday of 1987 and begin the year right with him. This we ask for his glory and through his name's sake. Amen.